welcome to the Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony. I'm joined in the studio today by three other members of the Minute to Midnight team. We welcome in the studio with me, Matt.
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Matt. Great to see you this morning. And also we're joined online by Brooke.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
It's really nice to have you here, Brooke. And also I can say the same thing for Joni Stahl.
Hey now.
Yeah, it's great to have all four of us in the studio or online at the same time. We've got lots to talk about today. I reckon it's going to be a great show. Look, yesterday I was driving along and I saw this 1965 Chevy, two-door convertible Impala SS, you know, big brash, lovely restored thing with mags and you know, just looked awesome. And I was thinking, and I just got this sadness, and I'm in New Zealand, I'm not in America, but I just felt the sense of this was the American heyday of power and the big car and the, you know, and all that. And then I just had this feeling of sadness, like that's coming to an end. And I'm in New Zealand, but we've sort of all, even here, looked at America as this big brother sort of a thing in many ways. And I just had this sense of sadness come over me that's at that era of the American, big American dream is coming to an end. And I just thought, you know, we're hearing so much stuff at the moment that this is happening, and how it's going to all play out, we don't know. But I'm just wondering what your guys' thoughts, what you've been hearing is going on and how you feel it's actually impacting you over there.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, we're watching a major decline accelerating like we've never seen it before. You know, I mean, even 10 years ago, we saw things happening, but not at the speed that we're seeing it happen now. And, you know, we're seeing it almost seems like a daily occurrence that we're watching our economy just slam down into like, it's never going to come back. It's not going to recover. But not just that, we're looking at a moral, not just a decline, but it's a spiraling down like some kind of greased lightning. I mean, when you look at the things like, you know, like the bathrooms being shared, like I was telling my husband yesterday, I said, did you ever think you'd see the day that our president would make a law that women's bathrooms, that men can use them, you know, I mean, and make that a law? You know, you think, you know, it's one thing, I guess, if you want to do it in the adult world, which is still not right, but like in the world of children, you know, not only that, we're seeing an occult explosion again too. You know, we're seeing Satanism rising in our nation. I mean, we're seeing an immorality that is like, looks like something out of the days of Rome. I mean, I don't even recognize the world that we're living in. Even my mother says that. She tells me, she says, Joni, I don't even recognize this world anymore. And, you know, it's, to me, it's a scary place to be. America is definitely, definitely not what it used to be. And I'm 54 years old. So.
Yeah. And Brooke, I mean, you've got teenagers growing up. I mean,
I posted the post of Obama going ahead. What is it, 100,000 public schools he wanted to do this in? And two of my children went to a private school. One still does. He has another year, but my youngest, she's only 14 and a freshman, and she's in a public school, the only one of my children that has attended. So when I read that, I knew I really want to be, of course, open to her and speaking with her in what she's going to see. Thank God she grew up in church and in a Christian home. So it's not really foreign to her. She hears a lot of what I say. I have to be careful some things what I say. So it's just really important to talk to them. She feels it's very wrong, but she comes home and says how many of her friends are for all of this. They're just completely for it. You know, to them, I think they look at Christians like, we don't love people for this. It has nothing to do with that. Of course, these people, and it's being introduced in like you said, in public schools for children, not in these full of department stores for adults or anywhere else, for children. That so they can accept it and see it and be okay with it. And it's not okay. I'm sure we'll get a lot of flack on that.
But it's the thing is, it's all happening so fast. Well, I mean, would you have believed it would even a year or two ago that something
no,
like this would be coming in? You know?
I'm not that old, but I didn't grow up in a time where you know, the military, they would not have thought of this. I saw an article just about a week ago where ROTC in the military these men were having to wear high heels to practice walking around in high heels.
In the military.
I was blown away that this is where they're going with all the problems we have. Really, what is that? Are they going to go to war in high heels? I'm not even understanding that. At all, yeah. I think it's craziness. I can't even imagine being a part of it and what I would do if I was against it and someone came up to me with a pair of high heels and told me I had to march up and down a couple of miles in high heels and stilettos.
Yeah.
I don't even know what much
crazy
to say about it.
Yeah. But, I mean, generally, in terms of what kids are being subjected to now – with the cartoons and the media and just everything. It's like, how on earth is a young person, well, I mean, even you, Matt, you know, you must observe it as well. How do young people actually get any sort of sense of direction or what's normal anymore?
It sounds like with Common Core in the States, it's very similar to what we've had here in New Zealand, where kids are being taught this stuff in school. And often it's not something that's even been discussed with parents. It just happens. They just bring these agendas in. It's like we've had unisex bathrooms here in New Zealand in places for a while, and they're always learning institutions, which is really interesting. They always seem to bring them in, where there are young kids and or teenage kids. These are impressionable people, really. It's and this is where it's coming in. You know what? Getting back to Obama, he's just gone and done this thing with the transgender bathroom thing. What do American people feel about that? I mean, he's just gone and done it.
Yeah, that was my thought. It's like, it's my child in school and we have no say over it.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a say over any of this?
What are your thoughts on it, Joni?
Well, you know, that's pretty basically what he's been doing since he's gotten into office. I mean, he has signed in so many under-the-radar bills that nobody really realizes how much he's done. And
that's right.
It is a very interesting thing. Out of all the presidents that we've had, he's very Teflon-like. He's able to do the things like this whole bathroom initiative, making it legal for men, you know, for multi, you know, gender use of bathrooms. But he's done these things all along. And it's interesting because though we've watched him do these things that are outrageous, it's like he's untouchable. It's very weird. And everybody says that. It's like, even people that have the power to change things, it's interesting. I mean, like, even if you look at, like, the, you know, the Democrat and Republican side, I mean, it's become to the point where they're basically the same. And even when, you know, you get new people in the Republican office that are maybe, you know, changing seats and raising up to new places of power, we think, oh, good, he's in office, now he'll do something. And then, you know, they have them saying things like, if I get this seat, if I'm elected for this or that, I'm going to stand against this and I'm going to stand against that, what Obama has done. And as soon as they are placed in that seat of power, all of a sudden, it just goes away. They don't stand up against him and they let him do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, even this Obamacare thing, they call it the Affordable Care Act. How is it affordable? I mean, you look at people who were paying, like for a family of four, say they were paying like maybe $700 or $800 a month for four people, which is pretty average. And they were told that they were no longer allowed to even have their regular, right, have their regular insurance. And now they're trying to pay $1,400 or more. And how about this? We're now taxed. If you can't prove that you have insurance, you get fined.
Yeah, and then that would be me.
Yeah, I know people that got fined for it. You know, I mean, people who are now are in debt to the government because, I mean, first of all, they couldn't afford to have insurance. Now they're going to get it from you one way or another. Or how about this? There's many restaurants that take it out of your bill. Like when we go to a restaurant and we get our bill, you know how they have the whole run up, what you've, you know, bought, you know, the total after taxes. And then it says ACA. And it'll have like a little percentage next to it because now they're taking it out of taxes at restaurants.
Mm.
Wow.
But back to the whole restroom business, this was my thought. And I actually ended up, there's been cases because the same day I thought about this, I saw it online. Can you imagine the pedophiles that are going to be dressing up as women? They're not transgender. Been dressing as women to go into women's restrooms to do God knows what, video, keeping time, no telling what they will do. So you think about the big picture in that, and all these crazies are going to come out of everywhere.
Well, it's everywhere. Already been happening. It's already been happening. Mm.
That's what I said. There's already been cases that they've proven, they've caught people, and they weren't transgender at all. They have a wig, and they put on a dress. They just go in to see what they can see, and it's just a complete invasion of privacy. And how can they not think of these issues? And they probably have. They just probably don't even care. I just think it's going to open up a lot of problems.
But, I mean, the whole thing is even, you know, doing away with the differences between men and women. To me, it's like it's emasculating men, and it's making, like, women don't know what men are anymore, and men don't know what's expected of them anymore, and the whole thing is just so topsy-turvy.
Yeah. If you're going to get to this level, why don't they just add a doggone transgender restroom for them?
Yeah, well, true.
I wouldn't want it. I'm not saying I'm for it. But why say you have to go in the women's
restroom? But how many transgender people are there anyway? It's such a tiny little percentage of people. And, you know, I mean, I can't think of many. I know the odd one or whatever, but this has never been an issue before. It's just like another thing that they're throwing a spanner in the works to cause confusion and chaos. Mm-hmm. And you just add that to all the other things that are going wrong, and just the whole thing is all topsy-turvy. What do you reckon, Matt?
Well, to cut to the chase, it's just Satan absolutely messing with God's perfect creation, with men and women. I mean, that, as far as I'm concerned, he wants to put confusion in there, he wants to create confusion, he wants to mess with God, and this is the way he's doing with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, every which way we look. Yeah. The roles of men and women have, you know, nobody knows anymore, you know, where they stand.
Well, you know, I mean, what about the stories you've been seeing about, you know, it's one thing when we see adults, they want to have a gender role, a gender change. But what about the stories we're seeing about little children, 5 and 6 year old little children, who are interesting? Without their parents even saying anything to them, they're coming out and saying, if it's a boy, I want to be a girl. I'm a girl. You know, I was born in 1962. Growing up in the 60s, that was not even anything that entered into the minds of people. So we're seeing, like, I was watching some show yesterday, and they were showing this little boy, and the mother was devastated because she wanted the little boy who feels that he's a girl, you know, to be part of whatever the girls are doing and to partake in all the girl activities, including the bathrooms and everything. And the little boy was so confused, and there was nobody to guide him, you know?
Mm.
And we're seeing this as an explosion. And usually, you know, when you study civilizations that collapse, like, for instance, people say, the general consensus, rather, would be that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of sodomy. But actually, I believe God destroyed it because that was the ultimate last thing. I mean, because there had to be a beginning where they started to deteriorate morally. So that was the end result of what they became. So it's because he didn't destroy them for that, because there's a host of other sins they were doing along with that. But that was the end result. So even when you look at Romans chapter 1, when he talks about, you know, men, women leaving off the natural use of women and men, the same thing, yeah. And, you know, that kind of thing, yeah. He's talking about the end. There is a moral declension. There is a sexual confusion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and even God, I mean, look, God doesn't cut any, you know, he has no holds barred. You know, he even goes as far as talking about bestiality and so forth. Because we know that even from the beginning of time, you know, there was like an ancient Sumer in Mesopotamia. Way back then, I mean, Satan wasted no time. I mean, that's when they had temple prostitutes. That's how you paid homage to that specific god, is through sexual activity. And that's what you did. You sold your children while they were very little to these temples. And that way you appeased those gods, and those little tiny children, like 5, 6, 7 years old, were sold to these temples. That was happening in the earliest civilizations known to man. So we're seeing the very same thing happen. You know, it was, you know, back then you look at that and you go, well, that was ancient, you know, Sumer, Mesopotamia, 1000 BC. But it's the same thing. It's a reoccurrence. And so you're seeing the end and declension of moral man, what it's become, and it's the norm. And people that stand against it, and there's people that aren't Christians, and they don't need to be Christians. I mean, we believe they need to be. We know they need to be, but there is a righteousness in them. They know the right thing to do. And they say, well, we don't agree with that. But, you know, notice it's completely flip-flopped 180 degrees. If the righteous say, well, we don't agree with that, we don't like it, now we're considered hate mongers. And see, this is what's happening to the Christians. It's going to become even more dangerous to be a Christian, because if you see how fast and powerful this is happening, I mean, these things we would never imagine. I mean, if somebody would have told me even a year ago these things, I would have doubted. I would have said, I don't think that would have happened. I don't think so. But this is like a word you don't really hear very often. It's called putrefaction.
Mm.
It's really rot, something that rots, you know? So when you look at this world, even the Lord says in Psalm 102, it says the earth, it wears out. It's wearing out, you know? And even if you look at, even look at all the mass fish die-offs and the birds, and everything is dying. This earth, look at it.
Yeah. And then, you know, it sort of brings me thinking about what you were just saying to the abortion thing, you know, the fact that generally people have become so blasé about it because it's just so common that nobody even bats an eyelid about it anymore on the whole. And yet to God, each is a life that's being taken. And isn't that exactly the same as what was happening in Baal worship and the putting children on the altar of Moloch in the Old Testament. You know, we're doing that now, and it's like a not even, nobody bats an eyelid. And how can God make a nation great again? Like, I'm, you know, to be honest, I'm sorry, I'm tired of hearing people saying that God's going to make America great again under Donald Trump or whatever. If these sins are going on like this, how on earth is God going to, why should God make America or New Zealand or anywhere else great if we've totally disregarding the commands and the sanctity of life?
Yeah, we talked about that last week. I mean, he may change some things for the better, but he's not going to stop the sin. Nathan Liao, was it, put out an article. Yeah, that's a great article, and it's up on our group page, and he really nailed it on that article. Really, really nailed it. The sins are still there. It doesn't matter what man becomes the president, as long as the people are still following the same path of sin.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Without repentance. I mean, and do you see, you know, I mean, perhaps there are pockets of it, but do you see a general, you know, turning away from that stuff where you are? No, I don't see it here either.
People are too comfortable at the moment. It's like we still can pay our mortgages, maybe just or whatever, or people are still in this position where we can still go to work, maybe we can still do all the everyday things. There's nothing really major going on that we can see externally because the mainstream media never reports on the big issues that are really going on behind this. So there's that false sense of comfort that people have that it's all okay, no problems, nothing to see here, let's just move along, let's just keep doing what we're doing. But when you look, and this is for us, and this is part of what we're doing as A Minute to Midnight, is telling people these things are going on, these things are happening, things are not well, things are not good. Because if you listen to mainstream media, you don't get that impression. It's okay, right? We're doing the transgender bathroom thing, we're doing the homosexuality thing, and all those other things that are being done, but people don't sit back and think, well, where's God in this? Oh, God's not in this, you know, because people don't believe in God anymore and they're too comfortable and it doesn't matter anyway. You know, it's that whole thinking.
So God may have to bring us into serious discomfort before people are actually going to go, well, hold on a second, things are not all okay.
Yeah.
Not all right.
Yeah.
So that may be what's coming. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I have just a sense that we're not very far away at all from a major turning upside down of everything.
I agree. And, you know, it's exactly what Matt was saying. You know, I mean, if you just look at, you know, look at New Zealand. I mean, you guys are just like us. We're no different. You know, everybody, they have this, you know, we've had generations and generations where we've had some bad issues happen, but we always recover somehow. But what's coming is not recoverable. And I believe in just the things I've been researching. I mean, I'm no expert, but I know enough that I can say that what's coming, you know, people can, you know, prepare and they should, you know, they should have food and silver and all the things you're saying. But there's things that we've never been through before.
Yeah.
That we don't know how to prepare for. We don't know how to prepare for what we've never been through before. So, you know, I think, you know, we were saying how, you know, Obama's been doing things that are so shocking and he gets away with it and no one does anything. You know, and even Trump, you know, I mean, let's just say, you know, if Trump enters into office, I do believe it's going to be very short. You know, I mean, the Lord did give me a word that it would be very short. So obviously there's going to be an event that's going to happen. That's going to cut it short.
People should actually check that word out on the A Minute to Midnight website, that article that you've written on that. Because, yeah, he may be, I don't know, but perhaps he is well-intentioned, perhaps he's even got some good plans and things he can put into action. But the thing is, if nations don't turn to God, why is God going to honour that anyway? Because it's just people putting a Band-Aid on an open wound. It's like, somebody's going to fix the problem without actually addressing what the root of the problems are in the first place.
You know, especially for the fact of all the aborted babies. I mean, if you think about all the generations that have been lost, think of all the generations. I mean, even in China, you know, all those genocide, you know, women are allowed to have second children. Remember, they were only allowed to have one child. They were forced into late term abortions. You know, when you kill a baby in its mother's womb and you're spilling its blood, you're spilling in it. I mean, all blood spilt is innocent blood. But when you're entering into the womb of a mother and you're murdering an innocent little baby, I mean, there's a word God has for that. I mean, it's Exodus 22:22. And I believe it goes something like this. If anybody at all harms any one of my little children, and if they at all cry unto me, I will kill them with my sword. Now, that's pretty strong words.
Mm.
You know, God loves babies. Remember, he tells us to become like them. So when you see what Satan has done by wiping out a couple of generations, just think of all the things Christ could have done through those generations of people that could have came in through them. All the things Christ could have done in their lives. But see, Satan wiped out generations of people. And so, you know, I'll tell you something. If Adam's blood cried out from the ground for vengeance, that was one man's blood that got God's attention. One man's blood. He wasn't the only man alive at that time. Just think about it. We, since 19, what is it? Don't quote me. But since Roe versus Wade, there has been, not an estimated, but there has been an actual number count at this point, it's 68 million babies. 68 million children.
Mm.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, God, for that sin alone, you know, I mean, we can't even look at sodomy and say, well, God's going to, you know, he's upset with that. Now, I'll tell you something. When you spill innocent blood like that, especially when it's babies, and then this nation is saying, God, we want you to bless us, but we've ran God completely and prayer completely out of our schools. We've taken out the Ten Commandments.
Mm.
You know, you in the military, they're taking down all the crosses off the chaplain's tents.
Yeah.
No one says in Jesus' name anymore because they don't want to offend anybody. Remember what the Lord says about that? If you're offended in me, I'll be offended in you in front of my Father and his elect angels.
Yeah, true. Yes. Another thing that sort of bugs me, it's a little bit off the track, it comes more to the kids that are a bit older, but I'm horrified, you know, with the sort of video games and things that are put out there and kids are watching, you know, 13, 14-year-olds, younger even, playing games like Grand Theft Auto, where part of the game is to shoot police officers and, you know, blowing people away all the time. Is it any wonder that we've got dysfunction when kids are sitting at home all day playing these stupid games where they're filled with violence and, you know, and everything that's the opposite of what they should be being taught? I mean, you'd probably, you know, see that sort of stuff too, wouldn't you, Brooke? With teenagers? Yes.
Diablo, that's another big one that these kids are playing, and we all know what Diablo
stands for.
And some of the things they speak about in there are things I've heard Tim Alberino speak in Spanish. I won't even try to pronounce it right here. But I realize that they're not even understanding what's being spoken in that game. Because I heard 3 hours of him do a show speaking on America and its name and what it stands for and what God spoke to him. Amazing show. And all of a sudden, I hear this word coming from my son's room, and it was speaking through this video game about what Tim Alberino was sharing with people and what he felt God led him to say about the meaning of America, and it's not what many people would think. It's not good, but it horrified me. So, of course, I went in the room and I said, do you even know what that one word is that y'all are talking about among each other. Because they get a bunch of kids, you know, this Xbox Live, and they can talk to anyone in the world.
Mm.
And he just looked at me like, no, no. And that's the thing. You don't even realize what that stands for. But you're speaking it. Your friends are speaking it. It's horrifying when I went through some of the video games to see what's behind some of this. We had Frogger and Donkey Kong. You know, Atari. Simple things. This goes way beyond a frog crossing a street and getting smashed by a truck. Really, it's frightening.
I have someone I know who's personally involved in the gaming industry, and I've had recent discussion with them about the occult themes that run through a lot of these games as well, too. They're very saturated and occult, and they think that's okay. It's not a problem. It's harmless. But
it's fun. It's entertainment.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. What's the problem?
To them.
Yeah.
But it's indoctrination, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hmm.
And also, too, you know, on a spiritual level, like we're talking about the occult, you know, evil spirits just need you to agree.
Yeah.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all you have to do is just agree. And, you know, like with little children, with the enemy, I mean, the enemy always mostly enters in when you're a child. They kind of lay low and they set you up until you're an adult, and then they do you in. And the reason they do that is they lay low for the rest, for many years of your life. You don't know that it's there because they're lodging within you. So that so little by little, you start to develop demonic personality traits. And so everybody just goes, oh, well, that's just how he is. He's always been like that. And it's not true. He had an entry point. There was a point where those spirits or a spirit entered into that child. And that child started to manifest different personalities and stuff, and people just put it to the side like, oh, maybe he's stressed out at school, maybe this, maybe that. And so what happens is they grow up with these evil spirits, and these spirits are like gatekeepers that open up other ones because they intensify their sins, and they set them up for failure. They set them up for rejection. They set them up for murder, to be murderers. So, you know, like all these games, you know, they look like they're harmless, not to us. We know what they are. They're totally wicked. They're born out of hell. They're occultic, okay? They have occult power. You know, look at, I mean, for instance, we had a lot of servicemen. I love our servicemen. But you know the stories, you saw certain ones where they were just callously blowing away with drones innocent people in the Middle East?
Yeah.
And the psychologists behind that were saying because of those games that they just got callous, that they were just so used to just shooting, like, and you know how graphic it is. You know, I've seen it, you know, when you kill somebody on those games, I mean, it's complete gore, you know, so they're desensitized in that.
So what do we do? I mean, we can see that there's all these issues and problems, but, you know, it could be easy for people to get into a sense of hopelessness, but what's the answer?
I believe the answer is we're the salt and light of the earth. You know, I mean, look, we know what it says in the word. It says, Paul says in 1 John, I believe it's 5:18, he says, for we know that the whole world lieth under the power of the wicked one. But, you know, we're not here for nothing. And if we could shed some light, even in the things that we're talking about, you have no idea where this is going to. You know how the Lord says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, but he's talking about sin. But it also says in the word that the entrance of the word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. As long as the Lord is carrying it, and as long as we're in the earth and we have a voice, and the Lord is we know the truth and we're speaking it out, God has something to work with. And we have no idea how far that carries. We have no idea how many lives that turns. You know, when you think about it, you know, you touch one person's life, you touch thousands of people's lives. Because we all touch somebody in our life. That's why we're here. We either flavor, you know, see, we're either the aroma of life unto life or the aroma of death unto them that perish. So I think that wherever the Lord has placed us, You know, I mean, we know people that have kids, whatever. We can write an article. We can do an interview, whatever. There's people out there. And I'll tell you, the Lord, he uses, I mean, we give him a very little bit, but he knows how to carry it. I mean, come on, this is the information age. There's more people that know about the occult backgrounds these days more than ever of these games and, you know, these murdering games. Mm. People are more aware of them more and more.
The thing, Joni, in our prayer time, you know, you're talking about the young people, and what occurred to me is that for a lot of these young people, they've had very little, if any, kind of Bible instruction. They may never have had anything at school or in the home. It's just a lot of it, for a lot of these kids, is nothing there. So, you know, when you talk about these young people, this is, to hear something like A Minute to Midnight, it's the first time that a lot of these young kids are hearing a gospel message, a Bible message, a message about morality or anything, and warnings. And so I really get what you're saying, you know, when you had your prayer about that, and I really get what you're saying, because I've had that same impression too, that they just, they're empty and they're starving. They don't know it most of the time, but they do know it perhaps deep down. So it's just so important that, yeah, we engage people about these things. And as you say, Joni, we don't know what God's going to do with that. We just have to trust him that he's going to do something with it. And one person could be 1,000 people, you know. And it's just so important that we talk to young people about it as well, too.
You know, I really want to talk about the young people for a minute. Never before in the history of humanity have we seen such an absolute lost generation. Mm. And even the generation before them became liberal. And so we have children nowadays that are starving, and they're looking, and they're hungry. Satan's more than happy to fill that hunger. Mm. But there's a price. We know that there's a price at the end of that. You know, I really felt very strongly when the Lord was giving me that word a little while ago, that he really is going to be speaking to the young children. He loves them. He knows that they all came out of homes. You know, the parents are the spiritual covering. If that spiritual covering is broken, the enemy has legal access into that child's life. Remember that father that had the child with the deaf and dumb spirit? And what was the word that, what was the first question that Jesus asked him? How long ago has he, since he's been like this, right? And what did the father say of a child? And what was it trying to do to him? It was throwing him, it was just randomly taking him and trying to, he says he's throwing him into the water to drown him or in the fire to kill him. And what did the father say? If you can do anything, help what? He didn't say help him. He said, help us. Because see, Satan, if he affects a child, he takes down the whole house. Mm-hmm. What I have seen through years, you know, because I've been in the deliverance ministry for many years, there's a thing called a target child. Every time. He always chooses one child. And he will try to do everything he can to take that child down. And we've seen it. Is it in every family? No. But in many families, yes. See, Satan needs the children. He knows that most of us were halfway through our life, but see, the children affect the world.
Yeah, they are the upcoming generation, aren't they? And that's what's scary, I think, even more, is the fact that the kids that are growing up now know nothing of the gospel by and large, or know nothing of traditional values. All they know is the world they've grown up in now, this topsy-turvy world. We've still got some roots further back. We know what sort of was more normal and more acceptable. But now they're thrown into this world early on where everything's topsy-turvy and upside down, and trying to get them to see that that's not normal. How do we do that? I mean, Brooke, obviously for you... you know, you've still got teenagers, and that must be hard.
I don't think it's going to be us that's going to do it. It's going to be God that's going to do it, and he's going to demonstrate it, because he can't reach him anymore.
No.
That's right.
He can't.
It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I say anymore. all I can do now is really be quiet and pray.
Yeah.
And pray. That is all I can do, because I can talk till I'm blue in the face. It's not going to change their mind. I've had a child with a huge miracle that one day we'll talk about.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I'm kind of holding on to that hope. That youngest child may not, you know, sway to the left or the right because of this. She doesn't know the full aspect of it yet. Of course, I won't share it with her till later. But I literally just, I have to be quiet, and I've prayed, do whatever it takes, Lord. That's hard. Do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. I trust you, because whatever
that's
it takes
a hard
can
one.
Mean a lot.
Yeah,
it can mean a lot. Like, what does it mean? What if I'm thinking of those words, and I'm saying I trust you, but it's like, okay, do I really? Because whatever it takes. What if that means him taking her or him? You know, and in the end, though, they become saved, but that's the only way. I mean, whatever it takes is really big to pray.
That's the hard one. I stumble on that too.
That's huge. That's my children. I don't want, it's kind of like, do whatever it takes, but don't harm them, Lord. But that's not faith. And it's real hard. It has to be him. It really has to be him. I do want to say something too, because we have brought up, you know, this whole abortion thing. And I don't want to throw it out there on this show, because we don't know who's hearing this. We don't know how many women have gone through it. We don't know how many children have been forced by their parents to have this, because I had a best friend who was taken twice by a mother to have this done. Okay, that wasn't that my friend's choice at the age of 13. That was a parent's choice. So we have no idea who this will hit. And I know we speak firmly of it. And of course, I am firm against it. But that if someone is out there that this has hit home with, I don't want them just to hear us saying, well, this and that, and God's going to this.
Exactly.
There is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. You know, God will forgive. You're not a person that he's just going to say, I'm done with you. There's no hope. You did this. You know, Paul murdered before he was Paul. Paul. So if that's happened in your life, or you were in a position by a parent with no choice, God sees your heart. Of course, you do have to repent, but he will forgive, and he will restore, and he will renew you mind, body, and spirit, and you just have to go to him with that, you know.
That's great, great point. We're all sinners. We've all need the same Savior. We all need the same amount of grace, really. We can't do it on our own strength. We have no one's going to be able to stand before God on the day of judgment and say, we did this and puffed up in pride that it was in ourselves, because we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. Every one of us has skeletons in the closet that we go, oh my gosh, you know, we wish we'd never done this or whatever. I think nobody's exempt from that, but that's why we have such a great Savior. But that's us, you know, all of us. So I think we're pretty much getting sort of close to being out of length for a show, out of time. So, Joni, I was just thinking, would you like to even pray, you know, maybe close this out with prayer and pray for people, you know, that maybe you've had abortions or whatever the Lord leads you to pray. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brooke. That was a great thing to bring out.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Brooke. It needed to be said, definitely. Mm. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this few minutes that we've had to get together and look towards you and fellowship and share things. And I know a lot came out, Lord, but we know that there's going to be many listening, Lord, of women that are contemplating having an abortion, or women that have had an abortion. And I know, Lord God, that there's a lot of guilt there. And the last thing, anything, not even the last thing, we never, ever want to come off, Lord, like we're pointing our fingers, you know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Lord, we just want to lift up these women to you. We just want to ask you, Lord God, to penetrate that darkness that they've been bound in, Lord, where they've just lived in a state, Lord God, of guilt and shame. And when they get around other people and children, the enemy is accusing them and telling them, look what you did. But Father, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness for them, that you may be glorified. And we just ask you, Lord God, to just melt the hearts of all the women, Lord God, and people that are listening to this program today. We know that this not just America, Lord, we are looking at the earth today, Lord, and it is disintegrating before our eyes. But Lord, you said when these things begin to happen, to look up. Our redemption is drawing near, and we just want to encourage all the young people today that are listening to us. The Lord loves you. The Lord is crying out for you today. He died for you, and he has a place set at his table for you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He has a place that has right where he can write your name in the Lamb's book of life. He forgives you. And I know there's someone listening right now that you think that you are unforgivable. You think that no one can forgive you. You think that you are the worst person in the whole world. But the Lord said he died for you. And the Lord has a place for you at his side. And his hand is stretched out to you even now. And the way is free and clear, and the path is marked out for you. And the Lord wants you to go to him tonight. And Lord, we just ask you to pour out your spirit of grace and supplication upon the children of this nation, upon the children, the people of everything, of all the world, Lord. Wherever this message is going to, we ask that your power go out with it to bear witness, Lord, of your love for the people. That you are a God that forgives sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive sins and to cleanse everybody from all unrighteousness. And Lord, I just want to thank you so much for the privilege it is to be called the children of God. I thank you, Lord God, for this time we've had together. We thank you for your blessings that are upon us and all your people, and that you're even kind to the unthankful and even to the wicked. And we give thanks, Lord. Until next time, we say thank you once again in your precious and wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. That's been a really, really great, and some powerful stuff has come out in this show today. So I just want to thank you, Brooke and Joni and Matt, for joining me today on the A Minute to Midnight show.
Well, it was an awesome time. I'm so glad to have been able to be on. So thanks for having me.
So thank you, Tony, Joni, and Brooke. It's been a really good time, you know, talking with everyone here today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony, for having us on. We love you, and we'll be back again soon.
Yeah, and it's a great team. I've thoroughly enjoyed having everyone today, so thank you. Well, folks, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also really appreciate it when people do actually click like or thumbs up on our videos. And visit aminutetomidnight.com, our website's chock with articles as well as all our video and audio shows. There is a donate button on there if anyone feels led to want to help financially to put these videos and things together. It takes a lot of work. Or you can also help by supporting rockshoresounds.com. I write all the music, create and record all the music for all of our shows, and if you support rockshoresounds.com, you're also directly helping to support aminutetomidnight.com. So I hope you enjoyed our show today. We've got some great guests coming up in the next couple of weeks, so please join us again in the next edition of A Minute to Midnight. So this is Tony signing off.